and welcome to Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time Showcast, the podcast where we talk about everything Wheel of Time as it pertains to the new Amazon Prime television show. I'm here with my co-host, Jen Isgro. How are you, Jen?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Not bad. And also Tom Kokoza. How are you doing, Tom?
Excited as always.
Yes. So this is our second episode. Very excited to be here. In this last episode, we talked about our first thoughts on the TV show, casting, and I think that's about it, right? So this show, we want to kind of go into what's going on now, which really much hasn't happened since last week, but we want to really get into the characters in Eye of the World and kind of go through all of them and determine or who we think's going to be cut from the show or the season, who's going to be pushed and who's going to be in it. So the only news that I know of right now is we saw a nice Twitter post of a picture of our current cast members all in Prague. So that was pretty exciting. What do you guys think about that picture? Did you see it?
Yeah, it looks awesome. I was just excited to see them all together and like on location, especially since I feel like we got the Daniel Henney post not too long ago. So to see like everybody's there already and they're all like, I don't know, they look just psyched me up.
Oh, that's right. There was the other post too. You're right about there was Daniel Henney with the script, right? So we think they had a read through at least or did some sort of table readings, yeah. Which is kind of exciting as well.
Yeah. A lot of smiles. Very happy. I thought, you know, Perrin looked, the other playing Perrin there looked a little less cheerful than everybody else. I thought it was on brand. But exciting. And seeing everybody together already, like I like the vibe. I like the look. It's encouraging, you know? It's something as simple as just a selfie, you know? It's like, oh, okay, this is looking well. This is looking good. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed, though, but I mentioned it probably before we started recording, but if you noticed, Josh Ostrodowski had dyed his hair with a bit of red in there. I don't know if he did that on himself as just like, you know, getting into character or not, or if that's what his hair is going to look like for the show, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did it with like some Kool-Aid in the bathroom, you know, like, you know, sophomore year style. So he's... Yeah, either way.
They're going to make Moraine's hair black, though? She's supposed to have...
Does she have black hair?
Oh, she does on the cover art, right?
Oh, God, you can't go by that cover
no,
art,
I don't know why. I picture her with black hair.
If we're going by the cover art, Rand's going to look like a middle-aged man.
Short.
Perrin's going to be, like, stubby and fat and kind of like a pig dude.
With a mullet and a bandana tied around his head, right?
Oh, that is the worst. When the cover of Dragon Reborn, when they're like came from a jazzercise in like class to like check out what's going on.
Oh boy. All right, so let's get into this episode. So in this episode, like I said, we're going to be talking about the characters from Eye of the World. I pulled up a nice list of all of the characters. I kind of weeded out some of the no-name characters who really don't have much of a role or who we don't see more than once. So we're going to basically go through all these characters. I grouped them together, and we're just going to talk about our opinions, whether we think they're going to be in this season one, if they're going to be cut, or possibly pushed to another season, or maybe even combined, right? Because there's always a possibility of characters being combined. So I'm going to skip through the ones that we know are already cast. So the five Two Rivers people and also Lana Moraine, because they're already cast.
Right.
So I'm going to start with some of the other Two Rivers people, the not-so-prominent ones. And I think the first one we need to talk about is Tam.
Right.
What do you guys think? Right? I don't think they can. They're not going to cut Tam.
So. No, I think in order to get the whole backstory on Rand, you kind of need him just to say like, you know, Rand's not from here, even though he thought he was. Like, I feel like you at least need somebody in his family to kind of get that story going.
And I feel like he's like, he might be the most important character that's not in much of the books at all.
Right.
Because he's like really responsible for Rand's emotional state. But and again, this is an issue that they're gonna have is like he only appears a few times in the books, but and it's such like a gap between them. Like, how are they gonna get an actor to play a character for a season, then maybe disappear for two seasons and then come back?
Yeah, I mean, he's literally, like, based on the discussion that we were having last week about, like, the possible progression of the show, he might be in the first episode and then not show up again until the fourth season.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they're pretty present in The Shadow Rising. You know, Tam's pretty present there. Then he doesn't show – well, actually, no. Someone tells a story about him showing up, I think, in either Camelot –
In The Dragon Reborn, he goes to, so he...
And Abel Coffin, right? They go to travel, yeah.
They go to the White Tower, but they miss everybody when, because they're all on their way to, I think it's during, timeline-wise, the Great Hunt, but we find out from the Amyrlin in the third book, Dragon Reborn, that they had showed up, Tam and Abel had showed up looking for the kids, or
well,
all
if
of
they,
them,
Well, if they, like, want to use him more, they could put that scene in. You know, they could do stuff like that.
I was thinking exactly the same thing, Jen. I was like, are they going to, I think they could expand his role and put him in scenes like that.
And they can do flashbacks a lot, too. Like, Bran's constantly thinking about things his dad taught him, how life was before he knew about any of his stuff. Like, you know, so like they can use things like that all the time. Where, like, it's him and Rand on the farm learning a lesson, learning archery, learning about the void, all the rest of that stuff. So they can kind of use him because he is, I feel like, vitally important to the end game of everything. Where he's the piece that pushes Rand towards the tipping point right at the end, whether he's going to fall into darkness or not, and then he's just one of like the main leaders of the last battle, you know.
I would be interested to see if they, and this would be awesome if they put like flashbacks of like him in the Aiel War and him finding Rand on Dragonmount,
right?
That'd be pretty awesome. And you're right, they could cut back to stuff like that during the whole first season. All right, so we all agree, obviously, Tam's going to be in it. And it'll be interesting to see if they expand his role. Some of the other characters, so we mentioned Abel Cawthon, Matt's dad, or Matt's parents, and his sisters, too. But I don't know if we see the sisters we actually see them in Eye of the World. I think they might be mentioned, but I don't know if we see them. What do you think, Jen? You think we're going to get some Cawthon family?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if they're that as important to his story as, like, Tam is to Rand. I don't know. I can't remember like everything that they do. I know you see them again, but I can't think if they have anything vitally important to add to the story.
Yeah, and I think the only time a lot of these characters we're gonna go, these Two Rivers characters don't really reappear till book four when Perrin goes back to the Two Rivers.
Which book is it where you see the girls going to the White Tower? They run into the girls.
Is that Lord of Chaos or the Fires of Heaven?
It's I don't remember because that all comes from.
Oh, right.
Book four, when they go back to Two Rivers, like, because don't Varen and Alana bring back like a bunch of Two Rivers girls who they tested and were able to learn to channel?
I think it's Lord of Chaos. It's when Alana bonds him. It's there, and I think that's part of like what's driving him crazy. But it might be the Fires of Heaven. I'm not sure. But yeah, you see, so the Cawthon sisters are like around, and they're in the Rebel Tower and all the rest of that, but none of them play a big part. Abel has like a minor part. He's basically Tam's head archer assistant guy, and they, like you get a sense that he's like a stealthy, scouty type of person. Like in the Shadow Rising, like he's doing a lot of scouting for the Two Rivers and fighting the Trollocs and the White Cloaks and whatnot. But they're nowhere near as important. Like Matt literally just doesn't care about ever seeing them again. And like, there's a couple of times where like Matt thinks about like things his dad taught him about like horse trading and like whatever.
With the bow, with the quarterstaff too.
Right. But you get the sense that Abel raised Matt to leave. Really.
Yeah. I think it's, and the only other, I think, Cawthon we really get more of is his sister Bodwin, because she's one of the girls that are brought back by Varen and Alana to train. And she's one of the ones who is part of the whole project of turning the chains to Quendiyar towards the end of the series.
Yeah, and Egwene replaces her because she's better at it, and she gets captured. Yeah,
because one of the other Aes Sedai gets killed, I think, or dies, I should say. I don't remember if they get killed. I can't remember that part.
I think that they'll be there. I think, you know, I think the mayor Rand will be there. I think, you know,
Brandon, Mar, and Alvir of Egwene's parents.
Right. I think you need to have them. They're supposed to be, right? I think that it's important, and I think that they're going to spend some amount of time, even if it's, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, to kind of talk about, like, the Women's Council and the Women's Circle, rather, and I can't remember what the men, is it the Men's Council and the Women's Circle? Whatever it is. But, like, the fact that, like, men and women work separate but also together to make the Two Rivers run, and it's really like an ideal community where there's as much equality as possible, right? Mm-hmm. And like that needs to kind of be set up so it's always like in reference to everything else. Bran is on a small scale a good leader of the town, and mm-hmm. his wife is a good leader of the town, and like, so I think they'll play around with that stuff, but like, I don't think they're ever going to see them again until they go back. Like, I don't think that there's going to have, I don't think there'll be Bran flashbacks or Marin flashbacks or even Master Luwin, who Perrin thinks about often. But
my next two characters, Alsbet and Harrow Lujan.
Wow, there we go.
We don't even see Perrin's parents, I don't think, in the first book at all.
No, I don't even know if you know he's got a whole family.
Does
until
he live with
they're
his family,
dead.
Though? Does he live with Lujan?
No. He lives with the Lujans. He's an apprentice to them. He lives with them in town. Yes.
I do hope that we do get, in the first book, I know there's a either a reference to, or I'm not sure if you actually see it, but there's talk of how Alsbeth Lujan kills is killing Trollocs with a frying pan.
Yes.
I do hope we see that, definitely. Yeah.
Well, she's supposed to be like bigger than, like stronger than her husband, is like what almost how they describe her, right?
Yeah.
So she's like a big, strong woman.
And the last Two Rivers person that I put in here was good old Senbui. I think they might throw a character like him in the beginning because he's kind of like that cranky old man who's kind of, because he's, I guess he's kind of like a foil to Nynaeve in the Two Rivers because he's the one who's always arguing.
Right.
So I'm not sure if they'll put him in. It'd be nice to see him though. And you only need him really for like one or two scenes. So it'd be nice. Yeah. And I think all these characters, I don't think they're going to be any big actors. I said Tam would be a great to put like a big actor for, but the other ones I don't see anybody
they could just
particularly
put, like,
famous playing.
Senbui in as like a, not even say his name, like it just could be like an old cranky man, you know, there could be just things like that where you just see a guy and you're like, that's so and so, you know, like we'll know, but
right, that's Will Conger,
so friggin' people.
Oh, the Congers.
<It's> crazy. You guys are talking about things that happen in like the whatever book with the chains, it's like, what, there's no way they're gonna put all, they can't possibly put all this information in. It's crazy. It'll be like a 15 season show. It's just nuts. It's so much
crazy. Yeah, I mean, eventually, I don't even want to think about it because the books just get longer as they go on, so how are they gonna do that? But
a lot of the book is interior monologue and description of places and things like that that they're gonna be able
close.
To kind of right, like clothes, buildings, you know, culture that they're going to be able to show, not tell. That'll speed things up, and they're going to start condensing plot lines, definitely. Even if they don't condense characters, which they probably will, they're going to condense plot lines. Like, you're not going to see...
I agree.
The Crossroads of Twilight won't get a season, right? That's going to happen concurrently to what's happening with Winter's Heart, right?
Yeah, they can cut out probably most of what
Sorry
happens
for the
in that
tangent.
Book.
Right.
I'm just sitting here like, oh my God.
Moving on. So here are some good ones. We're going to start getting into a little more of the better ones, and I think the more interesting ones we're talking about. So I've got a group that are really important characters throughout the series. We haven't heard any casting news about them. I think they're gonna have to put all these characters in, but who the hell knows. So first of all, there's Tom Marilyn, our favorite Gleeman, important character, love interest to Moraine as this book goes on. There's the whole spoilers alert. Oh, I forgot to mention that at the beginning. Spoiler alert, you think Tom dies in halfway through the book, but then he comes back in the next book. So what do you guys think, Jen? What do you think about Tom?
He's a huge character.
Tom Marilyn, not me.
Not Tom.
Oh, yeah, not this Tom. Tom Thumb.
He's, I don't know. Somebody said on Twitter this week that, oh, they're probably not going to put him in. And I think that's a good decision. I don't know. I think he's like a huge character. I feel like the only thing is, like, I feel like he's kind of in the background, like helping them. But does he do anything that somebody else couldn't do? I don't know. I feel like he's a huge character because he's always there. But I don't know if that necessarily means somebody else couldn't do what he does. I don't know.
That's true. So I think in the first book specifically, you know, as I was going back through the Eye of the World, he's like he takes on the role of kind of protecting the kids, especially the boys, from what's going on because of his past with his nephew Owen, who was a male Chandler and he was captured by the Aes Sedai and still. So he kind of has his suspicions about Rand, I think, and he kind of takes it upon himself to kind of act as a protector, which is, I mean, through the whole first half of the book until he basically sacrifices himself for them. But there's so much stuff that he does kind of like behind the scenes. I mean, He murders the king of Kyrian.
He murders the king of Kyrian. Yes.
Yeah, basically causes a whole succession war.
Right, that lasts for four books, right? Until Rand comes in to take it over.
Well, he does it in the second book. He does it in, and it just goes on and on until Rand comes in, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, Jen. He's always just kind of there doing stuff. And you're right, they could, I guess, make somebody else part, like maybe combine that role with him and somebody else. But I know the fans would be upset because he's such like a cool character.
I think that he'll be in the book, and I think in the show rather, and I think that they're gonna try. They're trying to get a name for that. Like that'll be like their second actor that's a name that they can carry. The fact that he doesn't have as much screen time as other people, but in the spirit of that, I don't know. I feel like they can use him and not even have Ogier in the story. Like, just not have them.
Well, you're getting into you're jumping ahead. That's my next character, Loial.
It's called a segue, Joe.
I know. Segueing into the next character, Loial, who he's Robert Jordan in the books, I think, right? I always pictured him as like, that's Robert Jordan. He's just there with them. He's doing his stuff and he's kind of noting everything that's happening. So I always kind of pictured him as Robert Jordan in the books.
Right.
He's such an awesome character, though, but I'd be interested if they do put him in. And if they don't put him in, are they going to cut out all the Ogiers?
I think that they can just cut them, not have them in.
It'd be helpful. Yeah, it saves money.
Saves a heck of a lot of money. To have a consistent character that's CGI the whole time. It's a lot of money, a lot of opportunity for bad special effects.
They could just change him, though, like make him not – they could just make a person in a costume and not make him as big and whatnot as the books are. That's always an option, too. And what about the Steading? If they cut the Ogier out, what about Steadings? Are they going to cut that out, too?
No, they can put Steadings in as just spots where the power doesn't work and that whatever. Like they can make reference to it without seeing it. I don't know. But that none of that's necessary. How much does Steadings really play out?
Right? I mean,
if you're talking brutal.
Yeah, I mean, you can get around Steadings, right? There's some scenes where they go to Steadings and, you know, they notice they get cut off from the source. I mean, the Ogier play a part in the last battle.
Yeah, but it's not like the Ogier need to do something that only they can do. Like,
he's such like a what's the word I'm looking for?
He is a source of information.
Yes, he's the exposition of the story. He's always pulling out information to like tell the reader this is what's going on, or this is something from the past. This is the history of it. So they kind of need somebody to in the show to kind of expose or explain stuff.
You have Tom. You have Tom Maryland to do that.
I guess, yeah. I guess they can make Tom do it, yeah.
Right. You know, or vice versa. I could see them combining these two roles. And I think it's easier for production purposes to have it be, you know, a normal human than a special effect or a makeup job.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. I'm sorry. I'd be sad if Loial wasn't there, but I know we have to make some concessions, right? We got to be realistic about this. So moving on, this next character, I will go to you first, Jen, because this is your character, Min. You always say that you think yourself more of a Min as anybody else. So
I am.
So what do you think about Min? She literally has, I think, one or two short scenes in the first book.
Well, they could always bring her in later. I think like it's gonna be hard to get the whole like three love interests across on TV and make people think that's okay. But I hope they keep Min. I like her a lot, and they might just push her back to appear later.
Yeah,
they really honestly they can do anything. I don't think they'll cut her. I can't see them cutting her unless they. No, they can't. It's so hard to think because it's like you think, no, they couldn't possibly, but they could also change the whole story. They could do whatever they want. So, yeah, they could decide they're cutting Min.
Yeah.
They could just change everything. So I hope they don't. I really do like Min a lot.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think my guess is they might push her back to second season just because you're going to hire somebody. They're going to do two short scenes. But then you always have the option of them expanding her role. Maybe her role's expanded and she goes with them on the rest of their journey in the second half of the first book. So I don't know, but My guess, my vote would be to push her to season two.
I'm not sure. I could see them, especially if they do not have one of the characters we already talked about, I can see them having her join them for part of the journey, whatever the case may be. She goes with them as far as Shadow Logoth, and then she goes to the White Tower because she gets split up from everybody. Who knows? But I feel she's one of my favorite characters, and not just because she reminds me of my good friend Jen, but I feel if any of the love interests are necessary, she is the one that is necessary.
Yeah, she keeps basically Rand sane for a lot of the books. Yeah. Because she's with him, she's at his side for a huge portion of the series.
Right.
Yeah, she's a tough one. I don't think they'll cut her. My guess is they'll push her back to season two, but who knows? You know, we could get another Wheel of Time Wednesday where we're finding out these people are cast. So
that's it.
And there's the whole her viewings. So
right.
They play a role in the first book. Most of the, I think, her viewings in the first book really don't come to fruition until later on. I don't remember if there's more a few of them that come to fruition in the first book.
There's, I mean, the general one of, like, you know, lights in the darkness, and like when you're together, they're stronger, they're fighting back against the darkness, and they're winning. So I think there's a general sense of like letting them know that, like letting you, the audience know that they need to be together to succeed, and then immediately splitting them up.
Yes.
You know, it adds a sense of like peril and tension to it. But yeah, a lot of the stuff doesn't even, some of the stuff that she views in the first book doesn't come true to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So that'll be interesting. So, all right. And then my last, well, not my last person, but one of my last big characters that I have who grouped in with them, who travels with them a lot, is Bella.
Aww. A lock.
I think so. I think people would boycott the show if Bella wasn't in it.
There's a lot of online love for Bella.
There is.
I'm not quite sure why, but
yeah,
put her in.
Yeah, well, it's a no-brainer. It's you can. It's just a horse. Just they're gonna be on a horse. Just
I can cut that out for you, Tom. I don't want to have any people up in arms about us. You said she's just a horse. I mean, come on.
Well, you know what I do like? I like the encyclopedia that they released after the books were done. Right, the last book makes you think that Bella doesn't make it out of the last battle, that she dies in the last battle. But the encyclopedia reveals that she survived and she went on to have foals and to have a happy life.
Yeah. All is right with the world. Bella survives. Bella, there's lots of there's all kinds of great fan theory about Bella, that Bella's the creator. Bella's Tavaren.
Oh my god,
that's great stuff. Yeah. All right, so we'll keep an eye out for Bella. We'll see if they cast Bella. All right, so my next group is, it's a very important to the series, and I think they have to put this in because it's huge. This is all about Perrin's storyline. Elias and the wolves, Hopper, Dapple, Wind, Burn. What do we think about those? There's the whole encounter when they get split up at Shadow of Logoth. Perrin and Egwene are separated, and they run in. They wind up meeting up with Elias, and that's where the whole Perrin starts realizing or becoming a wolf brother.
I feel the same way. They have to do it. They have to. It's literally the plot. His main conflict that gets resolved in the last book starts here in the first book with the wolves and the tinkers and the way of the leaf versus, like, you know, combat and all the rest of that. So I feel like you have to do it, but I feel like it's a lot. And again, I don't know what the budget is for, like, how this is going to look. You know, and I am nervous. I understand that on Game of Thrones, there were great wolves, and, like, you know, they're supposed to, dire wolves are supposed to be, like, huge, and that was part of it. And these are just regular wolves, so they can just get huskies and try and trick you. But, like, to have wolves constantly be our characters on the show, tough.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have, like, names of wolves. I'd be surprised if they name the wolves.
Not even Hopper?
You need to know who Hopper is.
He's, like, Perrin's guide. He's just, like, his spirit guide.
And you can just do something where he has very distinctive coloring and every other wolf is just a wolf with a name and it doesn't make a difference.
But he dies in either world and he doesn't appear anymore except in the world of dreams. So
yeah, but he's the only wolf that is a character. That, like, is he fights with Perrin in Teleramriod. You know, he goes on the adventures with him.
Yeah, he's there at the end. He's there at the end, right? Isn't he there with...
He dies at the end. He dies forever, yeah.
When they're protecting Rand in the world of dreams, right? Is Hopper there?
I don't. I think he dies before then. He dies. I think he dies before then. But okay. The wolves are there. He dies. I think Slayer kills him.
Yeah.
But he might die trying to get the Dream Spike out. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, the Dream Spike. Yes, I forgot about the Dream Spike.
It's a huge. It's just a weird sci-fi element into this. Yeah. You know, fantasy. Story to me.
All right, so staying in the same vein, because this all happens kind of around the same time, I'm going to jump over to the Tinkers. So there's Aram, Rain, and Illa. Those are the named Tinkers that Perrin and Egwene meet while they're traveling with Elias. Aram obviously plays a fairly big role in the series. He winds up following Perrin. He picks up the sword. You know, he's shunned by the rest of the Tinkers because he, you know, forgoes the way of the leaf. And Rain seems to be the leader of the Tinker group that they meet, and Illa's his wife.
Right.
So what do we think about those three? Or if we want to take Aram separate, since he's kind of a little bit more of a bigger character.
I don't know.
You must know something.
No,
you know nothing,
I mean,
Jen Nisgrove.
Okay. I don't know. I definitely remember Aram, but I don't...
The other Tinkers are only barely characters.
Yeah, Rain and Illa are really just... Like, he's the leader of that group. I think you might see them again.
Yeah, they're all over because they're in the two rivers and they follow them around forever.
Do they get killed back in the two rivers, right?
No, they don't. They don't. Other Tinkers get killed. They don't get killed. They're at the last battle. I don't know if they die in the last battle or not, but they're there helping, repairing things, cooking for them, whatever. So they follow Perrin's army. All over.
If I was writing the show, I would cut the Tinkers. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm cutting them.
They could cut Aram too. They could just cut that whole storyline. It's not really important to the books.
No.
It's a very odd, overwrought storyline of Perrin conflict about being attracted to being a man of peace, but
yeah,
being a man of war. And I think you could just do it with his fighting about his animal nature without having this extra element of these pacifists. And also, like, as the books go on, there's Massimo or Massima, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Want to take a vote on that right now?
We could say Massima. That's fine with me.
All right. So Massima, who is supposed to be a Muhammad-esque character, right? He's supposed to be like a man who develops an offshoot religion that has fervent followers, who becomes very militant. But he is then corrupted by, like, evil and turns Aram evil. And, like, that is something that I do not know if the show is going to want to touch.
Well, so here's my thing about the Tinkers. And the one reason I think they might need to keep them. Because the whole Aiel storyline of how they were once followed the way of the leaf. So if you don't put the Tinkers in there to kind of show that the whole way of the leaf... How do you get that whole...
Like, what's the reveal of the Aiel, yeah.
The whole background of the Aiel. And that's kind of a huge reveal. And that's why they, you know, that there's a lot tied to that, right? That's why the Aiel follow the Aes Sedai and feel like they have to serve them. And their whole thing at the last battle, that's why they follow Rand. And then basically at the end of the last battle, is Avienda says, like, we finally met our toe. All
right.
For their, you know, so it's I don't know. It's kind of big, but... Again, like, I agree kind of with Jen, though. Like, you can cut that out.
Yeah, like, it's big in the books, but there's so much. So they're not going to give you the backstory of the... Like, that they don't have to say everything that the Aiel do or all the stuff that we know in the books is not going to be in the show. Then it's just not going to have enough time for it.
Yeah, and it could be enough just to say, like, hey, these super militant, valuing, like, martial prowess above all else, like, tribal war folk... used to be pacifists, and like they can't handle that secret. They rely on honor so much, and they started out by being dishonorable. That could be enough of the reveal that they don't need to put the Tinkers in. I would miss the colorful mismatching clothes, but you know, you had a give and take.
All right, let's go on. So there's one last group. Basically, that whole Perrin storyline with Perrin and Egwene is the White Cloaks. So we've got Jefferon Bornhold, Jared Byer, and then Dane Bornhold. But I don't remember if Dane's actually in... Oh, Dane encounters Matt and Rand when they're in Bear Lawn. he's not with the group with Perrin. So it's Jephram, who's the father of Dane. Jephram and Bai are the ones who encounter Elias and Perrin and Egwene. That triggers the whole storyline where White Cloaks kill Hopper. That's when Hopper dies and Perrin kills a White Cloak. They get captured. That's Perrin's whole White Cloak storyline is a huge part of the book. So Jephram dies at the end of book two, but Byers like throughout almost the whole series, I think, until I don't remember who kills him.
I'm pretty sure Galad kills him. He's definitely around until Galad becomes leader of the White Cloaks. I'm trying to remember who he fights.
He does. Somebody kills him or he kills some. I'm going to look this up on the wiki, all right?
Yeah, but Byers, they're putting the White Cloaks. The White Cloaks are too important to the story. They're putting them in. They're also really just kind of a cool element where you have like these people who want to be good so much that they're militarized. They're not necessarily evil, but they're definitely misplaced. It's got a lot of, I feel like, topical corollaries. And it's also a redemption story for that whole group because at the end, they get turned into a force of good guys.
So I have it here. I'm sorry. I pulled up the wiki. And Byer attempts to kill Perrin. But Dane Bornhold kills Byer.
Yep.
And saves Perrin.
That's after the trial, right? Or after they fight.
So Perrin returns to... There's the whole scenario, right? Aren't the White Cloaks following Perrin's army? They're shadowing them towards later in the series. And then the White Cloaks get attacked by Trollocs.
Yeah, and Perrin helps save.
Perrin goes back to help save them. And then Byer tries to kill Perrin from behind. And Bornhold kills him because he doesn't like the whole idea of killing someone from behind, whether their back was turned.
Right, and even though Bornholm becomes like a drunk because he equates them with killing his father and everything else, like again, it's really a redemption story for almost all of the White Cloaks who legitimately want to be good guys and just don't know how and have leadership that's so corrupt and misplaced and don't believe in what the reality of the world actually is.
Yeah,
that it's tough to do. So like, that's a cool story. I think they're gonna have all of them in. I remember back in the day when I was reading it, people used to say like, it'd be cool if you got the Sutherlands to play them, but Kiefer Sutherland is probably as old as, you know, Donald Sutherland was when like these books started coming out. So I don't know, unless Kiefer has a kid.
I'm sure he does
somewhere.
And then there's also the whole, it's kind of like indicated or implied that Byer was compulsed by Grendel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's that. I hope we're not keeping you awake, Tom.
Sorry about that. It's an early morning, and it's a late night.
Yes. And what do you think about Dane Bornhold? Because he's not with the other White Cloaks. He's in another White Cloak group that Rand and Matt encounter in Barilon. It's really like a small scene where like Matt pulls a prank or something, and Dane Bornhold sees him and gets all up in arms.
Yeah, I think it is. I think because Jephram dies during Falme.
Yes.
And Dane sees it and sees them from afar and blames...
Dane doesn't see it. It's Byer. So Jephram tells Byer to stay back to give... Because he pretty much knows that they're going to get destroyed. Right. And he makes Byer stay back and go and report back to Pedro Nile.
Okay.
It's Byer is the one who tells Dane... that Perrin, it's Perrin's fault that his father died.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if you have him in the first book, but I think he's a necessary character.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of plays out. You see him first, he's just a jerk. And then you find out, like, oh, his dad is in, and, like, he's worships his father, and that's why he joined, and all the rest of this stuff, etc. And then you see the guy, like, hit rock bottom and then break out of it.
Yeah.
It's a nice little mini character arc.
Yeah. Jephram's good. He seems like the only White Cloak that has any kind of honor, that kind of most of the other White Cloaks don't have.
He is like the ideal of what you want. Like, he's somebody who believes that you need to fight for what is right, and he does so. I mean, he's still misguided. He still hates magic users, but he does seem to have honor, and he seems to have integrity, and he dislikes the questioners and all the parts of the White Cloaks that are not pleasant.
Yeah. So let's go on to the next group of characters, which I think is probably the probably the last really big interesting group, but we do have a few more characters to talk about, and I'll I guess direct this one towards you, Jen, to start with. So we've got the trip to Camelin, right? When Rand stumbles into the gardens, he meets Elaine, Galad, Gawain, eventually Morghese, Elaida, Gareth, Bryn, and Talonvor. So what do you think about those characters? That's a whole big scene. They're really only in like one scene, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on where they end up traveling to in the first season. I definitely obviously think Elaine is going to be in it, and Gawain and Galad, hopefully both of them. I think all those characters pretty much. I mean, definitely Elaida, definitely Morghese. They all have like big roles to play. So I just don't know if they'll definitely be in season one, but I think they'll definitely be in the show.
Yeah, I'm on the same vein. I'm not sure if they're going to be in the first season either. Again, it's one of those situations. Do you hire the actors to be in one episode and then they don't return again until season two?
Why do you think that's a thing that can't happen? If somebody hired me and said you're going to be on this big show and they're paying them. It's not like if it's like a famous actor, a different story maybe, but just like a person that's just happy to have a job. I don't know why they wouldn't just say yes to that.
I don't know how like the contracts go though. I guess that's why I don't know anything about that. Like when they sign them, you know, hey, you're going to be in this show. Are they signing them for us? There's only really been one season, right? Green lit. So
yeah, I guess
they can't contract somebody for more than one season. So let's say they do say they put them in and say, okay, you're contracted for this one episode. And then the second season rolls around. And they're like, okay, we want more money. We have like an Iron Man issue with Don Cheadle.
Yeah,
They'll do the exact same thing. Bounce.
There you go.
Didn't they do it with the Mountain? One of the guys who played the Mountain?
There were three Mountains, weren't there?
Yeah, I think there were three different guys who played the Mountain.
I think the second guy wanted money and they were like, you're nothing. Yeah, get out. We'll just get another giant.
Literally dude. Didn't even see your face.
That happened also in Game of Thrones with
Dario Naharis.
Yeah, Dario.
That was a person I was thinking about just really quickly when we were talking about like how, you know, the casting a little different from what you thought people looked like. The first Dario, even both of them was like the most off casting you've ever seen as opposed to like what was described in the book as what he looked like. He's supposed to have like a blue beard and all this like ridiculous clothes. So you never know if they're just going to be like, fuck it, I don't care what the book says. We're just going to do whatever we want. So.
That wasn't even like a casting thing. That was just like a costume thing.
Oh, whatever.
Thing.
I mean, not casting. Like, not the guy's fault. It's just like what they made him look like. It was just like, oh, you're going to have long brown hair. Not even close to what was described in the book. So
yeah, I agree. I
hope they go by it. If they don't, they can really do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that Talonvor might not be in it. I feel like he's really a unnecessary character.
But yeah.
Almost everybody else here is someone who I feel is necessary one way or the other. I am curious, are they going to get the most handsome man ever?
Well, they did a poor job again, but going back to Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, they should get that guy to play Galad.
Finn, whatever his name was.
I don't think he's bad looking. I don't know.
He was not. We're talking about Loras, by the way, for people who don't know.
I'm just going to mumble half sentences and hope you guys know who we're talking about.
Yeah, Loras Tyrell, you know, is, if you've read Game of Thrones and the books, he was described as, you know, this dreamy, handsome, all the women loved him. And then they cast a guy who played him and he wasn't bad looking, but he wasn't like the most.
I pictured like
beautiful man I'd ever seen.
Way too old now. I always pictured Jude Law playing Galad. That was like the level of handsomeness that I expect out of him. But yeah,
I honestly just picture like Rob Lowe from like maybe like 1994. Five-ish, like, you know, like,
we could just do this show 20 years ago, we'd be set.
Yeah, like just ridiculously like super chiseled jaw,
like pretty,
like deep blue eyes,
like pretty. That's what I pictured Loras as too, like a really pretty face,
like Channing Tatum type.
No,
Channing Tatum is like a block of meat.
Yeah, like
he's a good-looking guy, I guess, but like he's not
pretty. Yes, like Jude Law is
he's
pretty.
Not pretty.
He's a pretty face.
You're going to turn off all our listeners who are Channing Tatum fans, Tom.
Nah, nothing wrong with Channing Tatum. I'm all about Step Up. But
so I just want to go through. We'll go through them one by one real quick. So Morghese, I think you kind of got to put her in there, right? She's the queen. She's Elaine's mother. Big of a role she plays, you know, that could be here or there. She's really important, but not that important where you couldn't take her or toss her.
You literally could not have her there at all. And
she could just be talked about.
Right.
Right, she doesn't need to be in it in the first season.
Like, he could just go see Elaida, or Elaida, or whatever you pronounce her name.
Yeah, Elaine.
necessary.
She's necessary. Whether she's going to be in the first season or not, I don't know. She's literally one of the main characters. Galad, or Galad, as if you prefer, he's another huge important character. He plays in many roles.
I think they're all in. I think.
Yeah, but maybe not in the not really early on. I think he's in, but he might not be needed for the first
season. It is perfectly fine to have, like, here is a hugely important midway point of the story where this happens.
Yeah.
And then you don't see these people again for the rest of the story, but it's just like the middle episode of the season is this.
It'd be great. I'd love to see like a scene with, you know, Rand stumbles into the gardens. He meets all of them. And then like you just see Galad and him and they get somebody who kind of looks like Rand and they're kind of looking at each other funny like, you look familiar.
Right.
You look familiar.
Right.
Get that little half-brother love going. And then my least favorite character maybe in the entire series, Gawain. Who just is, he does so much stupid things that you just, I don't know why anybody would like him. I don't know why Egwene falls in love with him, but whatever. Supposedly, Robert Jordan originally was going to have Egwene and Galad together, and then he kind of changed his mind during this writing. Yeah. So then we've got Elida, who...
Definitely am.
She's one of the biggest antagonists in the whole series, right?
Yeah.
So, super necessary. And she's got to make a strong impression with the foretelling and with her, you know, her general presence, you know.
I think she has to, I almost think like if any of these characters are going to be in the first season, she would be the one. Like if they only had to pick one of these.
Yeah.
Gareth Bryn, he doesn't really need to be in the first season. He could. He's, you know, he's throughout the series scattered around, but he's one of those characters that could be left out or combined or something like that, I think. All right, I'm stretching this a little bit now, so there's a couple more characters to go through. So we've got, I'll go through these two quickly because they're not really big characters. At the Queen's Blessing, we have Basil Gill and Lamgwyn Dorne. So those are the two. Yeah, I'm stretching a little bit here, but they're in the series, all right? Basil Gill and Lamgwyn wind up becoming part of Perrin's crew later on.
Yep. I'll say this about Basil Gill, right?
The Queen's Blessing is where they all meet back up, right? Matt and Rand meet back up with Moraine and Lan and all of them. Yeah. And isn't that where they meet Loial, right? The Queen's Blessing?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of like that's an important scene in the book. So, you know, we got some characters here.
Yeah. Basil Gill will be the hot pie of the series. But yeah.
I'm confusing Basil Gill with somebody else.
He's just
Bale Doman. That's what I'm confusing.
No, he is a lock.
That's for like the ship, the pirate guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's my next character to go.
Oh, sorry. I confuse those two people.
Bale Doman do be in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. And I don't know who the second person you said is even. How do you spell that name?
So Lamgwyn. It's basically spelled exactly how I said it, Lamgwyn. Okay. He's like the bouncer at the Queen's Blessing, who is. He's part of like the group with Basil Gill and when Morghese, you know, when Morghese escapes and she goes under her fake assumed name. Then there's a girl with him that he winds up marrying or something.
She's like a lady, isn't she?
Yeah, they become like part of Fael's.
Chop Fael, yeah.
He's out.
Yeah.
I literally don't even remember ever reading that name, so he's out.
Yeah. So yeah, I called you. I was stretching a little bit. So we'll jump to who you thought I was talking about, but Bale Doman.
Yeah, he's...
And Florin Gelb, if anyone remembers who Florin Gelb is.
Is he the bad guy on the ship?
Yes. He works for Bale Doman, but he's like incompetent, and he's the one who falls asleep on watch when the Trollocs attack the ship, when Matt and Rand are on it. And he winds up getting getting kicked off the ship at some point. But Bale Doman. All right, let's talk about him.
Well, he rats them out. He does. He definitely rats out Matt and Perrin later on.
I think he does. Well, he blames the whole thing on Matt and Perrin. Oh. Matt and Rand.
Right.
Sorry, it's Matt and Rand. He blames everything on Matt and Rand. Says it's all their fault that the Trollocs attacked.
Well, it kind of is.
So, all right. So here's the thing, right? I listened to another podcast, Wheel of Time Spoilers. Shout out to Wheel of Time Spoilers. Seth and Patrick. Great podcast. Listen to them if you're looking for a reread. They go into great detail. So Bale Doman, he has one of the seals to the Dark One's prison, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
He mentions during the whole scene in the Eye of the World to Matt and Perrin that he's been getting chased by, I think he even mentions Trollocs for a while now. The Trollocs have been after him because he has the seal. So I think while these Trollocs are probably after them because of Matt and Rand on the ship, he thinks that they're after him because he's got a Dark One seal that he doesn't even realize. And Trollocs have been after him for a long time now since he's got that seal.
Yeah, so he doesn't think, that's why he doesn't act like you guys gotta get off the boat.
Yes, exactly.
Because right? he thinks that it's their unfortunate luck to be on his boat.
Yes.
That's cool.
That's why he doesn't exactly blame it on them, because he's been getting followed by Trollocs. And even after Rand and Matt are gone, later on in the series, mm-hmm. I think he's even getting chased by Trollocs continuously throughout the series.
When the next time you see him, he's getting offered a lot of money for a job that he knows is a setup to kill him because of all the times he's being chaced.
Yes.
Which is why I think Bail Dorman is one of my favorite minor characters in the whole book, literally, because he's in two chapters, maybe about a third of the way, maybe a little past a third of the way through the first book, which is 860 some odd pages, right? And yeah. Then you're reading the next second book, it's like, you know, three chapters in, whatever. And then this guy, no introduction, no explanation as to where you know him from, nothing at all. He just walks into a restaurant and gets offered a job. And, like, you have to know. And I'm like, that's when you first realize the scope of these books and, like, how anybody you meet may come back and be important, etc. So more than just his importance, his constant presence, the fact that he introduces the seals in the beginning, lets you know that it's going to come back up, all the rest of that stuff. He is indicative of the scope of the series, and I think that he's going to be in because of that. Also, he's awesome.
He is awesome. So, yay or nay for you, Jen? You think he's going to be in this?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's a fun character, too, that mm-hmm. that people will like.
Yeah. He ends up humanizing the Shanshan. He's the first person to do that.
Yeah. He's the first on-screen person that you see Shanshan with.
Yep.
In the second book, he's the one who first encounters the Shanshan that we first actually get a view of the Shanshan.
Right. And he falls in love with one, and that helps you realize that they're not villains, right?
All right. So we're almost done. I got a few more characters. They are kind of important. So at the end of the book, right, we get into Shinar, and we go to Faldara. We've got Agilmar. Mm-hmm. And then Ingtar. So those are two characters that we meet towards the end of the series. Oh, at the end of the book, I'm sorry. The end of the Eye of the World. Agilmar, who's the lord of Faldara. And then Ingtar, who's another lord, I guess a lesser lord. He's a noble that serves under Agilmar, who becomes very important in book two. What do we got? What do you guys think? Let's get some impressions from you.
Again, Agilmar is somebody who's not he's not super present in all the books, but he's an important character. He's one of the great captains, right? He's just somebody who's cool and makes a very strong impression without being in a lot. He does appear in the second book. He's fairly present in the beginning of that book. So I think he's a lock. Ingtar, I don't know if you don't need to have him in this. He'd be anybody. But yeah. It is kind of cool that, like, this guy who's in the book shows up, and he's a much bigger character in the second book, and then that makes the end of the Great Hunt that much more shocking.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Ingtar could be easily pushed to the second book. I think Agilmar, you need somebody in Faldara for them to meet with, right? Because they go there, they stay there for a very short while before they head out to the Eye of the World. So I think you need somebody in Faldara to be there. Contact.
Yeah, and I think it makes Moraine more important. Clearly she's been there before. They have some sort of relationship. It makes Lan more important. He's back in his home, like, you know, his area of the world and all the rest of that. And I think that, again, like, it's something that they've made very clear, the showrunners, that they want to focus on is the multiculturalism of these books. And this is the first culture that is markedly different than the Two Rivers.
Right.
Mm, true.
And you're going to want to emphasize that. So I think that they might even put both of them in there just to have this very Japanese feudal Japan kind of culture to contrast with this.
The Andorran Euro type
right.
culture.
Exactly.
All right. What about you, Jen?
I mean, yeah, if they're going to spend a significant amount of time, they do, you know, at the beginning of the second book, especially. So I think they'll have Agilmar in. I don't know about the other guy in the first book. It depends. Yeah, it depends like how long they show them there in the first season, I guess.
I do hope they don't cut in Tartoli because he's such a great character in the second book. He's got such a, like a great story arc.
He does. And again, I think that his death is Rand's first level of acceptance of who he is, really.
Yeah.
When he like tells him, he's like, you basically like, no one is ever too far gone not to walk on the light again. And like basically absolves him of his sins before he goes out to die. That's Rand's first acknowledgement that he's of the dragon. Spoiler.
Yeah. All right. So three more characters and we're done. Sorry, but they're kind of important characters. I'm going to go with Loghain first because I did hear rumors that, and I think this comes directly from Rafe Judkins, showrunner, that he is most likely going to have an expanded role in the first season. So I'm pretty sure then he's going to be in the first season. He's not a big character in the first season, but later on, I think in book five, is it Fires of Heaven where the White Tower splits, right?
Yeah.
And then he becomes more of a big character and throughout the rest of the series from that on.
Yeah.
So in the first book in Eye of the World, Rand sees him in when he's in Camelin. So he's part of the Camelin encounters. The Aes Sedai have caught him. He's a false dragon. They've caught him and they're bringing him back to the White Tower. And that's where Rand sees him. There's a short scene where I think Loghain spots Rand and kind of eyes him because we find out later on that I think Loghain has the ability to, or the talent to see Taviren.
Right. In the book, you see from Rand's point of view, and like Loghain's just looking around in the crowd, and he feels like Loghain like looks at him. Loghain just bursts out laughing, and Rand's like, oh, he's already mad. But Loghain bursts out laughing because he's saying to himself, I'm trapped in this cage, and that guy's going to destroy the world more than I could ever do.
I don't know if he knows that much at that point. I think he knows that he's a pretty powerful Taviren, but...
No, he says something to that effect. Like he sees like how powerful he is and thinks it's funny that that's the state that his life's in right now or whatever. Loghain's a cool character. I don't know who... Like, I feel like this is somebody that you might want to get an actor, again, who can do a lot with not necessarily a lot on the page. Like, I don't know if they want to try and get somebody who has a little bit of name presence here. I don't know whom that would be. I guess we could talk about our dream castings aside from Jude Law and Jen.
Jude Law could make a good Loghain.
In that version, Min and Galad end up together. that's a spinoff that I'm working on.
Because right, Loghain's supposed to be, is he like around Nynaeve's age, like in his mid-20s, to late-20s, I think, right?
Exactly.
I'd have to check it up. Let's see. I'm going to the wiki, guys.
I think he's like 28, I'm going to say.
No, they don't have a birth year up there, so.
He's older than Rand, but not by much.
Okay. Our last two characters. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not even my last two characters. All right. I forgot. I got a whole nother group that we got to go to. All right, so I did forget some more characters I didn't realize. I was skipping around on the page here. We'll go to the Green Man next. He's obviously at the very end of the book, at the Eye of the World. I imagine he has to be in the book, in the show. If they don't put him in there, that's kind of, what's the point?
Right.
I guess the idea is he's not a real person. He's an artificial creature. He has a lot of information. He winds up killing, actually, Balthamel. And then Balthamel, I think, also kills him at the end, too. So,
yeah.
I assume, I don't know if anybody has any comments on him.
No,
I think that they'll probably put him in, and then Andy Serkis will do the voice.
Perfect. We got to see some Andy's. That'd be great if we get some Andy Serkis in this series. He could do great.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we have Luce Theron Telamon. We didn't talk at all about the prelude flashback scene with Luce Theron and Elan, who is Ishmael. However you want to pronounce it. So I guess we can talk about both of them. So do you guys think they're going to do that whole prologue section?
Does Luce Theron talk to Rand in the first book?
Nope.
I don't think so, no.
I think they could have that actor like doing that for the whole series. So
I don't think that Rand starts to hear his voice till the fifth book, maybe the fourth book. And he doesn't talk back to him until he's trapped in the box in Lord of Chaos.
Oh, yeah, that's when it gets bad. I guess the whole point of bringing him up, and again, Ishmael or Ishmael, however you want to pronounce it, is, are they going to do, do you think they're really going to do that whole prologue scene with, you know, or are they just going to let the Winter Dragon filming, you know, speak for everything?
I don't think they need to do the prologue. I don't think that they will, because I think if they do, it's going to be the same thing like the Watchmen movie, right? I don't know if you saw the movie, The Watchmen. It's supposed to be a mystery about who kills the comedian, yes. Right? And it's a big reveal, which is Ozymandias. But the actor that they got to play Ozymandias was so distinctive looking, with like a really skinny neck, and like that, like, it was clearly him. There was no mystery. As soon as you saw him again, you're like, oh, that's the guy who killed him in the beginning. So I think that if you have Ishmael in the beginning, it's not a surprise that Balzamon is him, which it's supposed to be a surprise.
I don't know if they look the same, though, right? I'd have to go back and read the prologue.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Because doesn't Balzamon have a messed up face and the flame eyes?
That's later on.
But that's in the first book.
He had the fire eyes. He had the fiery eyes in the dream world.
He doesn't get the messed up face till the end, right? Because that's right. He doesn't get the burned face till Ran messes him up at the end of the, at the Eye of the World.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then he has a mask in the next couple of books until he gets iced.
Did either of you see the Winter Dragon?
No. How long is it?
It's not long. Again, it's bad. And I think I saw clips of it. And again, they only did it because they had to make something because they would lose the rights. I heard about some other like fan videos or filming that was put out that's supposed to be fairly good. I have to go look it up and, you know, I'll see if I post it on the Twitter account.
I saw one a few years ago, and it's like Rand and Matt just traveling.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yes, that's one of them. I think there's two different ones, and I have to go back and check, but that's definitely one of them. I know that for sure.
So who else? I can think of one character we didn't mention.
There's one really big character, obviously, that we have to talk about, and that's, we talked about Ishmael a little bit. We talked about him in regards to the prologue, but he's obviously kind of like the main bad guy throughout the entire series, and he's in their dreams as Balzamon. I mean, he has to be in it. I'm guessing he's going to be in there, because otherwise...
Right. And I think we talked last time about how they might, even though he looks differently, they might get an actor to play Moradin and make him look different to play, you know, Balzamon, because half the time he's in a mask or what's, you know, he's horribly disfigured or whatever.
Yeah, and I thought about that. That actually happens with a lot of the Forsaken, right? Lanfear, the same thing happens. Usengar and Arengar, which are Aghanor and Balthamel, that happens too.
Grandal.
Does she come back?
Yeah, Grandal comes back. She's hideous. Her eyes are all misshapen in different colors, and she's like an old hag, and she makes the most heartbreaking losses for me. Ruark, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Aiel clan chief that's like awesome. She compulses him at the end to like fall in love with her, and he like follows her around for the rest of the thing until like they all die.
That's in the last battle, right?
The last battle. She gets killed at the beginning of that book.
Okay.
Or in the middle of it and comes back. Yeah.
All right. The next big, huge character that I think there's a no-brainer, but who knows what they're going to do, is Padden Fain.
Yeah. You know, I was actually joking before about the Greenmen, but they should get Andy Serkis to play him. Even though he is very, it's very much a Gollum-esque character, you know, in the beginning at least.
The dagger is the ring at this point.
Right. Although he becomes much more powerful than Gollum ever does. And he's like this really, you know, he becomes like, yeah, whatever. I mean, for those who've read the books, he's like this very odd third element. He's not either, you know, he's not the light or the dark. He's just evil.
Right, he hates the Dark One, actually. Yeah. He comes to hate him. Yeah. So, yeah, he's like that Gollum character where he's that third evil type character where he's not the main evil. He's the chaotic evil character who doesn't follow the other evil characters.
Right. So, yeah, but I mean, I feel he's necessary, and I feel you need to get somebody who can like level up his performance from being just a evil traveling salesman to... this psychopathic, murderous, you know, leader of a zombie horde or whatever, or an undead horde.
Yeah, he's going to be interesting. I think he's definitely in it. You're right. I think they need to get a really good actor, maybe like a character actor or something to play him, because he is kind of important and he's got that, he's like all over the place and he's kind of almost got that multiple personality thing going on.
Right.
With Mordith from Shadow Logoth, who was kind of like another person I added to the list as... There's that short encounter in Shadow Logoth with Mordith. That is it. Matt and Perrin run it, counter him. It's Matt, definitely, obviously. And I don't remember if it's Rand or Perrin that encounter Mordith in Shadow Logoth.
I don't remember.
And then the last two I have are Aghanor and Balthamel, right? The two Forsaken that are encountered at the Eye of the World that wind up getting killed, I believe. So the Green Man kills one of them, and I think Rand kills the other?
No, the other one kills himself. He draws on too much of the power and burns.
Oh, that's right. He starts drawing on the Eye of the World, and he winds up burning himself out and killing himself.
Yeah.
That was Aghanor, and then the Green Man kills Balthamel. You think they'll be in there for the finale?
Yeah, I think they'll be there. I think they'll be there because it's cool when they come back in like 4 books or 5 books or whenever.
Yeah.
And they got to die to come back.
Yeah, I think they're gonna do the Forsaken. They have to have those two guys and start doing it. They have to do the Forsaken. So I think they'll have I think they'll definitely have them in the end.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't think it's not much to do. It's literally a scene or half of an episode maybe at most. So it's not like they don't have to bring them back, because when they come back, they're two totally different people. One of them wears a mask, right? Isn't one of them like in a hood or something? So you never even see their face.
He's got a weird gimp mask. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's got a weird gimp mask on. I think, is it Aghanor is the one who creates the Shadow Spawn, right?
Yeah, he's the brilliant, evil, twisted scientist, and Balthamel's a sex fiend.
Oh, and is Balthamel the one who comes back as Arengar, the female then?
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to have all these Forsaken coming back as like 2 and 3 different people. We'll have to see how they handle that.
Yeah, I agree. You're right, Jen, because you know what? They can make these two not come back and just make the characters that return. Arengar could just be like a dark friend who can channel, who's hiding, and Osengar could just be one of the
Dashiva.
Ashaman, Dashiva. They could just be like, he's just a male channeler who's a dark friend.
They could do that, but there's also like a whole, it's part of the ongoing mystery of the books is like, who are they? Where are the Forsaken? Who are they pretending to be? You're pretty sure there's a Forsaken in the Black Tower, but which one? And they do a good job of like giving you red herrings and making you feel sympathy for Dashiva because he's like going mad or whatever. Like, I don't know. It is really confusing, the reincarnation stuff, but it's also really important to the end game because it happens, right?
All right, good episode, guys. We had a lot to talk about. We fit a lot in there. And if you're enjoying it, no length is too long for you. All right, so I just want to thank everyone for listening. We do have a Twitter account now, so if you want to tweet us or follow us, we're at Aran Talk. It's Aran Talk. I want to apologize to everyone because when I created the Twitter account, I was focused on making the actual show name, the name of the account, and didn't realize that it had, you know, suggested an at name, and I didn't pay attention at all, and that's what it gave us. But it's short, it's easy. It's at Aran Talk, Aran Talk. So check us out on Twitter and, you know, follow us. We're on Spotify and Stitcher right now, and we're working on getting on Apple and Google. So check those out and follow us there too. Thanks everybody for listening.